All right. Hello and welcome to our Mudcast Elective. The topic is healthcare in India. My name is Sunaina and I'm super excited to be talking about this today. So today we're going to be diving deep into a crucial and complex topic, the healthcare in India. With a population of over 1.4 billion people, India faces unique challenges in providing accessible and affordable healthcare to pretty much all their residents. From the divide between the public and private healthcare systems to the innovative strides in medical research, today we're going to be breaking down the key aspects of India's healthcare system. So, whether you're simply interested in global healthcare or you're from abroad, you're going to have to stick with us to kind of explore the strengths and weaknesses and the potential future of India's healthcare landscape. It's going to be a pretty insightful and thorough discussion, so we can get started. So, just to kind of begin with, like I wanted to give it like a big picture on the India's healthcare system. So India has a dual healthcare system, which basically has public and private sectors. So government hospitals and clinics usually try to provide free or pretty much low cost care, while private hospitals dominate the entire market with like extremely advanced facilities at much, much, much higher costs. So, with the really, really large regional and socioeconomic disparities, access to quality healthcare is a constant challenge within this country. So, some key statistics here to kind of talk about. So, the doctor-patient ratio. India has approximately one doctor for every 1,501 people, which is way below the World Health Organization's recommendation, which is 1 to 1,000, which is still kind of insane. In terms of life expectancy, recent reports dictate that life expectancy in India is around 70 years, which is a significant improvement over the past couple of decades, but it's still many, like very behind many developing nations. And then in terms of the actual disease burden, so a lot of the non-communicable diseases like diabetes and heart disease are constantly on the rise in this country. But as well as communicable diseases such as infectious diseases like tuberculosis and malaria still pose a very serious threat in certain parts of this country. So, as we can kind of tell, India's healthcare system has definitely made progress, but there's still a lot of gaps that remain and still a lot more that we kind of have to work through. So, I wanted to kind of dive into like specifics on those challenges. So the first one that I wanted to talk about was the difference and like the challenge that kind of comes with the public versus private healthcare. So it's really, really stark, this divide between the public and the private healthcare. Private hospitals are usually extremely well equipped, but they're extremely, extremely expensive and out of reach for majority of the citizens that are living actually in India. Government hospitals, on the other hand, are very, very affordable, but they're extremely underfunded. Kind of like how we were talking about the doctor-patient ratio before, very, very overcrowded, and they lack a lot of resources because the population of India is so large. It makes the public healthcare part of India's healthcare system extremely difficult. So it's really not that uncommon to hear stories of like extremely long waiting times in government hospitals where one single doctor may have to see dozens, up to maybe even 100 patients in one day. This is extremely different from their private hospitals, where patients could pretty much have immediate attention, but obviously comes at a much more significant cost in terms of the actual economy and how much money they're giving. For example, an MRI in like a government hospital, which is considered the public hospital, might be around 2,000 rupees. And to kind of convert that, that's like $25. Whereas the same scan in a private hospital could pretty much cost 10 times as much, 20,000 rupees. This price is like a significant accessibility gap where a lot of those lower income families cannot afford such medical technology and are just not able to go to a private hospital, even though they know they'd be able to receive the better care. So a lot of these lower income families are forced to forego like necessary treatments simply because they just can't afford them, which is like a very large issue and something that like they're constantly trying to tackle within this country. Another huge challenge in terms of like access to healthcare would be the rural nature of access to healthcare. So around 66% of India's population lives in very rural areas, but pretty much like 80% of the doctors actually live in urban centers. And this is kind of like the same problem that we're having in the US in terms of we need more primary care physicians in the rural setting, and we're not able to find that. So a little more like medical schools are being produced in terms of trying to focus on primary care physicians, providing incentives for being able to go work in like rural settings. All that type of stuff is now starting to kind of start up in the United States versus in India, that's still a lot of work needs to be done in terms of how to get doctors to access rural areas. So there's like a very, very heavy shortage of doctors, nurses, and a large amount of medical infrastructure in those rural population groups. It's also like they have a really high reliance on pretty much very informal healthcare providers. Like sometimes you could just go to the pharmacy and get whatever medication you want just by Googling it. So that's like one of the main issues there. A lot of people are taking these medications that they shouldn't even be taking, that they don't know to take because no provider is actually being able to tell them because there are no providers there. So a lot of informal healthcare is being done, and that can obviously lead to many different challenges of its own. So that's another issue. And then the last thing that's kind of good in this aspect is like the emerging role of telemedicine as like a potential solution for these remote consultations and diagnostics. It is extremely like it's improved a lot since definitely when I was born. And that was like 25 years ago, just to kind of give some context. So telemedicine is definitely like a much bigger thing in rural parts of India now. And as like wild as it may sound, no matter where you're living, I feel like pretty much everyone has a cell phone at this point. And a lot of cell phones, like smartphones, pretty much. So you're able to FaceTime, you're able to WhatsApp, whatever it is, you can kind of get in contact with a doctor. And that was not the case before. So telemedicine is definitely on the rise in terms of the rural aspects. It's just it needs to be like advertised a little bit more, but that's definitely a plus. For example, like imagine like in terms of the challenges, imagine a rural farmer who, gets ill, has pesticide poisoning or whatever the issue is. He has to travel almost 50 kilometers to the next town just to see a doctor. Transportation is an issue. Location is an issue. Like the actual health is an issue. There's so many different issues. In some cases, like pretty much a lot of individuals just choose to forgo treatment altogether because the time and cost involved in those travels are just too much. It's too great and it's too large. So that's a very common issue that you pretty much see within a lot of farmers and a lot of rural and rural villages within India. But there have been several attempts to kind of counteract this problem, like we were talking about in terms of the telemedicine. Indian government has kind of introduced like mobile healthcare units with community health centers in some of those rural areas, but which has made a significant impact, but there's still like the shortage of trained professionals in that area, and funding in those specific areas is constantly going to remain like a pretty big hurdle. Another issue is out of pocket expenses. This is a huge issue within India. Nearly like 60% of healthcare expenses are paid directly by the individuals. There are no insurance companies, nothing of the sort. There's the patients, the families that are pretty much paying the entire thing, which leads to financial ruin for so many different families. Like here's just a couple of examples. People would take loans or sell their property just because, well, not just because, but because they've been diagnosed with cancer and they're trying to pay for a cancer treatment. That's just one example of how it can lead to a financial ruin. Another thing is a lot of middle class families pretty much slip into poverty if they have any long-term hospital stays. And this is like an extremely unfortunate situation. But when you're paying for the entire healthcare yourself, something that's really easy to just kind of see those finances leave your accounts and you kind of go between like the low-income, poverty-stricken families, and your entire life pretty much changes. So that's another huge example. And the other thing is, when you don't really have like a universal insurance framework, it doesn't necessarily always cover like unexpected health expenses. So a lot of like random things come up here and there. Maybe it's like some medication change. Maybe you're moving from insulin to a different diabetes medication, which is almost double, triple the price. But most of the times, like depending on where we are, at least in the States, insurance should, or depending on whatever insurance policy you have, it should or maybe like should cover a good amount of that. When you have all these unexpected costs and the healthcare system is in India, there's no other party kind of there for you to help you in any way, shape, or form, which may or may not be a good thing because, like, sometimes insurance policies in this country may pose a threat to some issues, like people face healthcare issues and stuff like that. And it's not always the best thing, but in India, it's definitely like it's hard to pay for everything yourself. So it's a balance that we kind of have to strike. But that absence of a universal insurance framework definitely like makes them pay a lot more for like unexpected health insurances that one cannot like foresee. So out-of-pocket expenses is another big thing. And then the last thing that I wanted to talk about in terms of like challenges within the healthcare system is what we kind of touched on before, but the health worker shortages. That's a huge, huge issue that we were talking about. Pretty much specialties like mental health and geriatrics are extremely affected. Only like 75, 0.75 psychiatrists per 100,000 people exist. So mental health is extremely inaccessible within India's healthcare system. And like the stat that I just read off, that's an extremely, extremely low amount of psychiatrists that are available for these individuals and a very, very high lack of geriatric facilities. And that's an issue because India has a very high elderly population and it's still continuing to grow. So India's population is continuing to age and the lack of geriatric care facilities is definitely a growing concern and something that people are constantly thinking about and talking about, but a lot more work has to be done in those specific areas. I wanted to talk a little bit, kind of pivot away from the actual challenges within India's healthcare system and talk about different government initiatives and policies that kind of exist to either help or just exist within modern day for the healthcare system. So the first one, I'm gonna be talking about two things here, telemedicine and Ayushman Bharat. So the first one, the Ayushman Bharat, Indian government has pretty much launched this concept of the Ayushman Bharat, which is the world's largest national healthcare insurance scheme. Their goal is to eventually cover the bottom 40% of the population. This initiative is pretty much aimed to like make healthcare more accessible, reduce any financial burdens, especially on the low-income families, and kind of talk about, kind of cover like what we were talking about before. Any unexpected health expenses, you don't really want individuals who are extremely like kind of in the middle class slipping fully into poverty and people having to like sell their homes, their education funds, pretty much everything. So the bottom 40% is really what they're targeting. And because India has such a large population, the bottom 40% is a large chunk of people. And it's a very high, it's a real, it's a organization and like a scheme that has a very like high amount of hope to it, but it's going to take a lot of work to kind of actually put into place. So that's one of the main initiatives. But how effective has Ayushman Bharat been? Like it has, like I was saying, it has provided a lot of coverage to millions and millions of individuals, but there's constantly concern about hospital participation, if there's fraud, and like we were talking about before, if there's actually enough funding to genuinely meet this program's ambitions and goals because they're so high. And like I said, because there's so many amount of there's so much population, like there's just so many people in India. So that's the first thing. The second thing we wanted to discuss was a role of telemedicine. So telemedicine is pretty much like I was talking about before, has been a game changer in terms of expanding healthcare access, especially after the pandemic. The government's National Digital Health National Digital Health Mission is pushing digital health records and remote consultations, which is pretty much helping with the population groups we were talking about before, which were the rural and underserved population groups. So that health mission and this constant need for telemedicine in terms of like the rural areas and underserved areas, that's definitely a positive. And there's so many different things that are coming out of that. But like we were talking about it before. Like we were talking about it before, it needs to be expanded. There has to be some sort of health centers or community centers that individuals can come to in terms of emergency situations where they don't have to travel 50 kilometers or 100 kilometers to reach the nearest hospital, and a hospital that's actually equipped with facilities and with resources that they genuinely need. So while the telemedicine is a great initial kind of screener for doctors to see if something is emergent or not emergent, at the end of the day, if it is emergent, they still need the resources and they still need the place to be able to come to. So it's a great initial stepping stone, but there's still a lot of work that kind of needs to be done in that area. And then another thing that I wanted to talk about, surprisingly, was medical tourism and innovation in India. Medical tourism is pretty big, actually. in Indian healthcare systems. And I think that's because a lot of different things, like you get high quality treatments that are pretty affordable compared to, for example, the United States. And I would say, like, pretty much routine surgeries and stuff like that, stuff we see here, like CABG and stuff that's usually covered under people's insurances. There's not that much of a difference between price between here and India, but more like the elective surgeries and the more complex procedures in India, it can definitely come at a much more affordable rate. So it's pretty much become like a global hub for medical tourism. It has patients from all across the world coming from pretty affordable, high quality treatments, specifically in like plastic surgeries. Breast reconstruction is a huge one. Breast reduction is also a huge one. Nose, like septum deviation surgeries, nose jobs, Botox, a lot of these different factors is extremely, like, it's very highly seen in India. And a lot of the medical professionals there, like we were talking about before, work in extremely high urban settings, and their volume of patient load is just insane. Like extreme numbers of patients. But the thing is, they're extremely capable. Like a lot of times they say, even here, like how we kind of learn medicine, the more number of patients you see, the better. Inherently, with India's population being almost double, triple ours, they see double or triple the number of patients that, like a United States healthcare physician would see. So they have a lot of experience or doing a lot of surgeries, but all with this also comes like a greater risk in terms of sterility and resources and the hospital settings and stuff like that. But if you're willing to pay a little bit extra, which is still cheaper than what they're able to find here in the States, a lot of people do go to India for medical, like plastic surgeries that we were talking about, difficult heart surgeries that we were discussing, or any organ transplantations. So those are really like common procedures that happen there. And the costs are almost like 50 to 80% lower than they are in Western countries. So it's definitely positioned, like this country has definitely positioned themselves as a leader in medical tourism, but that also comes with its own costs because if all these people are traveling to India to kind of get their stuff done, it takes away from the residents there that are really in need for healthcare access, and takes away from the doctors that would be able to help them there. So that's kind of a pro and con at the same time. In terms of pharmaceuticals, India is pretty much known as like the pharmacy of the world. We pretty much saw this during COVID, but it produces a really, really large percentage of generic drugs that are used all over the world. There's like countless pharmaceutical industries, countless pharmaceutical programs, and so much funding that kind of goes into the pharmaceutical part of India, because that's really what's being distributed globally, and what a lot of countries like next to us and a lot of countries pretty much all over the world ask from us in terms of trade situations and from that aspect. But it has a really, really large percentage of generic drugs, and pharmaceutical companies pretty much produce like pretty affordable, life-saving medications, which is helping local patients as well as ex like international patients. And you saw, like, in terms of creating the vaccines in India during the COVID time, that was like a huge thing. They were able to pretty much pump it out extremely quickly, and they were able to kind of give their residents and the entire world a beacon of like hope and provide some vaccines from that aspect, because they have such a high amount of pharmaceutical companies and research labs here from that aspect. So that's definitely a plus. So pretty much in conclusion, despite its challenges, India's healthcare system has a lot of strengths. They do, like we were talking about, have low-cost treatments that can make healthcare accessible to pretty much millions of people. They have a lot of, like we were talking about, very, very strong pharmaceutical industry that is able to benefit global healthcare. And they have countless innovations in terms of digital health and telemedicine, like we were discussing before, which is specifically extremely useful for the rural healthcare and underserved population groups. In terms of weaknesses and areas for improvement, I think every country has this, and India definitely does have this as well. They need a lot more funding from the government level and from pretty much any level for rural healthcare, to really bridge that divide between urban and rural healthcare access. A large part of India is not like population groups in the city. There are a lot of individuals living in villages who have absolutely no access to medical care, and that's very concerning and extremely scary. So that's a huge thing. Another thing in terms of improvement could be better insurance coverage. I know we were talking about the Ayushman Bharat, but better insurance coverage for everybody to kind of really reduce financial hardships and any unforeseen circumstances that may exist. And that may come up because, as we all know, like life happens and stuff happens. So that's a pretty big one. And then the last thing, trying to really strengthen your medical education to address the doctor shortages. I know we talked about how in the United States they're creating primary care schools in rural areas and pretty much ensuring that everyone in their schools, everyone that's applying for this medical school only wants to do primary care, and having a certain number of seats reserved for primary care in terms of residency and fellowship and et cetera. Similarly, I think like from that same kind of pool and ideology, India and cities across India should definitely kind of implement something of the sort where there's medical schools solely there for primary health care, and give them incentives because it's such a busy city and because it's such a busy country and there's so many individuals and there's so many people. Everybody wants incentives, everybody wants something to look forward to, and everybody kind of needs something to kind of hold their grounds and, you know, make a living and provide for their families. So if you're going to ask them to go out there and live in the villages, provide them good amount of incentives to be able to do that. Provide funding at the government level, at the state level, at the village level, wherever you can find money. Maybe, you know, I mean, there's so many different aspects that can kind of play into that, but really strengthening medical education to truly address the changes and the shortages that physicians face, as well as that patients face in those underserved population groups and rural population groups, something that really needs to be highlighted and something that definitely needs to be worked on. But yeah, that's pretty much what I wanted to talk about today. That was my discussion on healthcare in India. So hopefully you learned a little bit about the policies and the initiatives that they have and what are some challenges and some strengths that this country has as well. But every country is constantly evolving, every country is constantly improving and trying to get better. And healthcare is something that is a human right and needs to be constantly improving across the entire globe. And this is just a little snapshot of what's happening in India. So thank you for listening. Yeah, thank you.